create the circumstances I can retreat and meditate, create the causes for me to do practices, and free me of obstacles and indulgences that I can do that to gain attainments. So when you're invoking in the enthronement, it is requesting him for attainments on two levels. A, he's a Buddha, so you create the causes, but in this case, it's more to create the causes, not directly asking him for attainments, although he is capable. Why? He is not in the form of a yidam, he's in the form of a protector. The protector protects you from the three lower realms by attainments. You understand? Questions? Yes.
There's one part in the puja that is uncertain about, which need Rinpoche's clarification. It's something in 45, talking something about to kill and then to vomit blood. Then we know that this is not a personalized object or persons that we will visualize. But I'd like to know what should we visualize.
Just now when I was describing the wrathful offerings, same thing.
Same
concept. The person vomiting, all that, is that being. Same thing. Okay? Why do you do it again and again? Because you create karma again and again. It's like we do Vajrasattva every day to stop the karma from multiplying that we created that day. Alright, so we do it daily for the karmas that we've done daily. That's why you do confessions daily. When you do confessions, it's just for that day. But what about tomorrow and the next day? Okay.
Rinpoche, would you say something about the visualization during mantra recitation, please?
For those without Anuttara Yoga Tantric initiation, for those without, since the majority of you is without higher initiations, I will talk in that way, not by Tantric initiation, all right? If you have the initiation of Yamataka or Vajragini or Hiruka, the visualization will be radically different, radically. When you have the initiation of Yamataka or Hiruka, you will be commanding and ordering, etc., to do this and this. In our case, we do like this. We make our request to Lord Setra. Which method will be easier, huh? Let me give you an easier method. Because there's several ways. Okay. Directly should be all right. Yeah, directly. Okay, I'll tell you. Usually when we do the et cetera puja, I've never done it without the higher initiations. So the visualizations we do is quite different. So for you guys, actually, normally people wouldn't even do the visualization, do the pujas. Why? The normal lay people, they just go, they offer kata, they offer some money, they offer some flowers, whatever, and then they just go off and they pray. So it's very rare. But you guys are different. So what I would advise is this is, you would pray and fold your hands directly to Setra. That would be permissible. Directly to Setra, whatever requests you have, you visualize the four lights going out. you visualize the white lights going out from Setra, because he has four actions, enlightened actions. You visualize the white lights emanating from his body very strongly out into the six realms of samsara, into the three lower realms and the three higher realms. And that white light touches everyone. It pacifies their disease. It pacifies their unhappy mind. It pacifies their desires. It pacifies all their negative traits that make them very jumpy, unhappy, passionate, angry. It pacifies them. And you visualize all beings in the six realms calm and happy and very at peace. And visualize coming from Setra doing that. Why? You're using Setra to activate your wish for samsara. So you're creating the karmic imprint to achieve that. Why? The very reason we perpetuate Setra is to bring happiness to others. Then the white lights return back and people are at peace. Then you visualize the next one is yellow lights leaving Setra. Very strong yellow lights emanating out from Setra. And it goes all over into the six realms again. And everything that people need increase. You visualize crops growing. You visualize the sun very bright. You visualize the animals growing. You can even visualize the global warming situation reducing and becoming better. You visualize the lights going out and increasing. You visualize the oceans and the seas increasing and growing, and animals and plants and vegetation flourishing, and the forests and the seas all just flourishing. You visualize that all going out very, very strong, and the beings therein also. So whatever people need, whatever beings need, not just people, Setra gives them. So then you can go individually. Maybe your friend, they need their business. You visualize the yellow lights going out, their business increasing. Maybe someone else is very sick. You visualize the yellow lights going out to them, their life increases. They become very healthy. Because the yellow light represents growth and increase. Then when increase activity has completely been accomplished, the yellow lights gather back to Lord Setra. Then from his body, red lights come out again into the six realms. All difficult objects, all difficult people, all difficult beings whose mind is very difficult to change and whose mind is very stubborn and very hard. Red represents control. Their minds change, and you're able to hook them on to the Dharma path. You're able to hook them on to the happiness path. Why? At first, you're calming their passions down. The next one is you're giving them what they need. So when they're calmed down and they have what they need, the third option must be Dharma. You give them Dharma. How? By bringing their minds to the Dharma. So what you visualize is the red lights going out to sentient beings, their mind being hooked and attracted and pulled toward Dharma practice, liberation practices. Then the lights dissolve back to Lord Setra. Very strongly you visualize that. Then the last one is black lights. Very fierce. Amidst the black lights is wild apes, wild chickens, wild snakes, and cocks, and elephants. Very fierce scorpions. Not elephants. Very fierce scorpions. Very fierce animals going out in the black lights. Billions of them going out and completely eliminating all obstacles and problems and difficulties that beings may have, especially those in natural disaster areas or tsunami areas or people who suffer from epidemic areas, all immediately wipe away their problems and difficulties and problems and sufferings. And then the fierce black lights and the animals all go back and dissolve into Setra. Then you visualize yourself doing the mantra very strongly and focus on Setra's body. Develop one-pointed meditation. Focus on his body. Focus on his eyes. Focus on his flags. Focus on his horse, what he's wearing. Focus clearly and don't just run here and here. Focus and hold it. Hold the meditation. Don't just wildly do it. Hold it and keep your mind on it. And each time you do the puja and you do the mantra, etc., hold your meditation on his form and keep it there and increase it. Maybe you can hold it for 10 seconds, then 20, then next time 1 minute, then 2 minutes. Hold the meditation and keep it there and increase it and block out everything else. Hold your meditation. So that's the two things you can do with setup for people without Anuttara Yoga Tantric initiations. Then whatever I explained, add on to it and make it more. I told you just in short form, add on to it. Okay? Questions? So this meditation with setup will be twofold. One is activating his energy to do whatnot. The second is one-pointed meditation to hold one's focus. So in the southern tradition, we think about the nose, we think about the breath going in and out, and we feel the end of the breath at the nose, and we try to hold that concentration. So in this one, we hold the concentration on setra. What's the difference? The point is to develop the concentration, not the object. The object is not important. The point is to hold the concentration so we can develop insight.
How large do you recommend those?
Paris?
I'm just wondering if you can have two or more Dharma protectors.
Oh, of course we can. Of course we can. Why not?
When would you need two? Or when would
you
just need
one? That's up to you. If you like it, you do more. Okay. It's like this. If your best friend is the Prime Minister of Malaysia, can you have your best friend as Singapore Minister also? When? When he hops along. Can you have also the Prime Minister of England to be your friend too? When? No problem. But ultimately, if you have one and you follow it well, you don't need so many. You don't need some. When or what? This one cannot. For example, I have to do four-faced Mahakala because it belongs to my Kamsan. I have to do Setra because it belongs to my monastery. And my previous lives invoked Benden Lamo strongly. I was advised by my gurus many times in the past to invoke on Benden Lamo. So I've been, I know it's correct because when I was a very small boy in America, I saw a Tanka of Benden Lamo. And I freaked out. I just said, who's that? What's that? And I asked the monks. I got the mantra. So when I was very young, out of all the Dharma protectors, I used to do Benden Lamo tremendously on my own. So what happens is now, Mahakala is for my Kamsan. So whatever work I want to accomplish for my Kamsan, I invoke Mahakala for the monastery, etc., for you guys, etc., and on top of that, Benden Lamo. So it all came along. So with me, I got a bandwagon of all of them. How big we visualize is up to us.
Sorry, if you do like another Dharma protector, do you need to have permission or initiation or anything, or can you just do their mantra? Or does it depend on the protector?
Enlightened protectors, it's all right. Worldly protectors, I wouldn't recommend running around and praying and, you know, reciting their mantras and stuff like that because you're already quite worldly. You don't need to add to your worldliness, do you? Yeah, so enlightened ones, like you want to do Benden Lamo, you want to do Kali Rupa, you want to do Maka, it's okay. That's all right. Why? They're a Buddha. It's like saying, no, you can't pray to a Buddha, only that Buddha. Ridiculous. Good. Yes, Sharon? Oh, the Dalai Lama used not Setrap or used Mahakala, all that stuff, because when our country was first converted to Buddhism by Guru Rinpoche, Guru Rinpoche installed this pehar or nechung to assist the Dalai Lamas. So he was given to the Dalai Lamas to be his lapdog, literally, to help. So the Dalai Lama has a special connection due to this promise by Guru Rinpoche. So it's not Dalai Lama's choice. The Dalai Lama's personal protector is Benden Lamo. Personal. Questions? In Tibet, there might have been a difference. Now you offer whatever from your heart. So to me, black tea is quite cheapskates here because tea is overplentiful. To me, offering milk or beer would be very nice. Or you can even offer Coca-Cola. My point is what is to offer what you like. See, Tibetans like tea. So when we say black tea, it is just a statement for the offering. Actually, we don't call it black tea. We call it serkim. Serkim is golden drink. So from today, let's change it. Let's not call it black tea. Let's call it golden drink. We'll say golden drink is a drink that's purified like gold, produces incredible results. So what we do is you offer whatever you like, hot or cold, up to you. Any more questions? Hasn't it been an interesting session? Yes. Madeline Hanyi, were you excited? I was excited to share it. Yes. Don't worry, I'm not trying to catch you and then tease you about it. If you were Madame Chua, I do this, but you're not, don't worry. You remember this? Oh, yeah, okay. Yes, JP. Do we have any other people who think? Anybody else? Okay, go ahead, JP. What color does a black tea have to be?
No. Oh. Why would an enlightened being like His Holiness the Dalai Lama need to consult an oracle for divinations and whatnot?
That one I have no idea. I have no idea at all. But the Dalai Lama consults them and keeps them active. My thinking keeps them active is because in between the Dalai Lamas, the government and the people need help. And there are a lot of people who consult them who also need help. And the Dalai Lama is beyond his capacity to answer everybody's question. So I would think that the Dalai Lama is not actually asking questions for himself. I think he's asking people. And I'm sorry to say, and you listen very carefully, there are many people who approach the Dalai Lama who feign faith, who feign respect, but they also have very big egos, very arrogant, and they also don't listen to what he's saying. There are many people like that. Hence the fall of Tibet. Many ministers are well known to be very crooked. Many. So His Holiness is not asking things for his personal. See, when he asked the protector for them and for others, he would hope that they would believe the deity more. Do you understand? That's one. Second is to keep the continuity for in-between incarnations and for many, many questions that he doesn't have the time to answer. In fact, the Dalai Lama doesn't just consult the oracles. He also has divination masters of different lineages where the divinations are given to him because he doesn't have time. This is my conclusion. I didn't get this from anywhere. But that sounds pretty much logical, right? Because I thought about that too. Questions? Yeah.
Can I ask Cetra's practice in relation to divination?
Oh. Can I ask about Cetra's practice in relation to divination? I tried to leave that one out, but sneaky here remembered. Cetra doesn't have a divination. The divination we do in the monastery is this, for Cetra, is dough balls. We have a bowl, a special bowl that's contained and blessed. And then in that you make dough balls and you write the answers yes, no, or whatever you have questions to. And it's exactly the same size and the dough balls are consecrated. Then the lamas will do pujas, etc. for about 3 days, 2 to 3 days, depending on the question, the severity of the situation. And then a highly skilled lama with the monks will go in front and roll. And one of the dough balls will jump out. The dough ball that jumps out when you open, the answer will be there. That's Setrap's divination. Now, regards to divination, there are many types of divination, many, many types. But you have the dice divination, you have the sword divination. Some protectors do a sword divination, which is, they actually, you know, it's very far like that. They draw a diagram outside of the temple doors, and the protector will actually throw the sword out. I don't know how it goes that far. It goes, and where it lands, you get the answer. They're quite accurate, too. Okay, so you have the Zen divination, which is highly skilled lamas will take their Zen. They will fold it a certain direction, and the way it opens up, they will be able to predict the future for you. Certain lamas have a mala divination from their practice. And from the mala divination, from the numbers that they count, from the questions, they can tell you a future. Some lamas use dice divination, shomo divination. So the popular divinations, there are many, many, but there are two that stand out. One is Benden Lamo, and one is Manjushri. So Benden Lamo's divination has three dice. The three dice of Benden Lamo's divination, the three dice, you have to receive Lama Tsongkhapa initiation, finish the retreat. You have to do Yamataka's initiation, finish the retreat and fire puja. After that, you have to receive Benden Lamo's initiation and do the retreat and do the fire puja. And Benden Lamo's retreat is very long because the mantra is this, is Jo Rama, Jo Rama, Jo Jo Rama, Chinti Galara, Chimara, Mo Shita, Chinti, Rulu, Rulu, Hong Jo Hong, One. You have to do 400,000. Okay, so you can forget about that one. That's right. You say very nice. That's Benden Lama's holy mantra. the female goddess. 조라모 조라모 조조라모 진조가라지 모라모 아시다지 진조 블루블루 홍조홍. Very beautiful. The sound jo is said to please her ears. Why? I don't know. Don't ask me any deeper. I mean, you know, if you say I'm going to give you money, that pleases me. So everybody's got the sound that they like. What? Okay, so she has the divination dice, three dice. When it's thrown down and it lands as a total number of 17, it's excellent. When it's thrown down and it is 5, 7, 9, 11, 13, and 15, it is good. If the number lands to be 8 or 18, it is middling to borderline good. If it lands to be 3 or 10, it is medium. If it lands to 14, it is middling towards negative. If it is landing whether 4 or 6, it is bad. If it lands to total number of 12 or 16, it is very bad. Avoid that action. Then you have a mopé. Mopé is a divination text in which the numbers can be broken down and checked further, meaning is division by family, marriage, livestock, business, spirits, relationship, dharma work, travel, finding something missing, and medical and doctor. It's broken into those different divisions. So once you throw the number down, if you want to look further, you can look into divination text to recommend what pujas to do or what practice to do to a person. Skilled lamas usually have it memorized or they pretty know what's going on. Okay? That's why Benden Lamas in short. If you want to do Manjushri's practice, that's wonderful also. For Manjushri's, it's a single dice. The dice can be made of sandalwood, white or yellow, rosewood, conch shell, or glass. Then it has six sides representing Manjushri's mantra, Om Ara Batsa Nadi. You have to receive Manjushri's holy initiation. Keep the commitments, keep the vows, and keep your practice, and do a retreat on Manjushri. Om Ara Batsa Nadi. 700,000 minimum you have to do. Minimum. Okay, it's 100,000 for each mantra. With meditation, four sessions a day. After you finish that, then you go to your lama to ask, can I do it? You see, you have to have your lama's permission. You don't go and grab a Manjushri initiation from Lama X, then get the initiation from Lama C, and then stick home and get instructions from Lama B, and then you do your practice and you end up on planet A. You don't do that. People here say, oh, if I can get that from the lama, I'm going to follow him. If not, I'm going to go for another lama. Oh, I'm going to see which lama is more powerful. I'm going to see which lama teaches me more magical things. I'm going to follow the lama that does what I want, gives me what I like, when I want, as I like. Otherwise, if he doesn't choose me for a special initiation, special practice, or special, I'm not going to follow this lama. I'm not going to follow. Just when I said that, he left. Isn't that funny? I'm not going to follow this lama. Very auspicious for him. So what happens is this, is like that, is a lot of people go lama shopping, and that's quite dangerous, because they take a little here, they take a little here, they take a little here, they take a little, they combine it, in the end, they're nowhere. Confused. Very, very dangerous. So what happens is when we do Manjushri's practice, when we do Manjushri's practice very strongly, we can do Manjushri's dice. Whatever falls, what sides, again, you have a divination text to check, those different sections that I broke down earlier. Example, relationships, health, example, whatever. Okay, that's Manjushri's dice. Then if you do Setra's practice very strongly, there is not a specific dice or a specific way of doing divination that I know of or I've seen in a monastery. But what happens is this, is I've heard of people receiving messages by dreams from Setra very clearly. Very, very clearly. And those are very advanced practitioners. Those are people who are... So don't say, oh, I did Setra Puja, I had a dream, you come back and tell people, you're going to be laughed at. Why are you going to be laughed at? Look at you. Your indulgence is so strong, you think your dream come true. It's, your dreams are just a dream. So what happens is this, is Setra can reveal himself by your dreams, by indication. Some monks can use Setra and do Zen. Some monks can use Setra and do your mala. So what happens if we do Setra practice very well, we can use our mala to get an answer. We can use our Zen to get an answer. Zen I don't know about, but you can use your mala. I don't know about means I don't know the technique, but there is that technique. We can use our mala or come in our dreams. And for those who are very strong in Setra's practice, meaning that you really put your ego down and you've surrendered, if you relax, listen carefully, if you relax and you ask, the first thing that comes to your mind will be the answer. He will indicate in that kind of way also. So sometimes when we ask someone a question, if they just relax and keep quiet and think about etc., relax, something will pop in their mind. Maybe a picture, a letter, a color, an indication, and then they'll tell you. And usually it's correct. Setup is very, very good in that. Why? Setup is well known for helping people who are lost, who are in the distant, who are far away, who have difficulties. He's well known for that. Because he's, although he's very haughty looking, he's very, very compassionate. Very, very compassionate. So what happens is when we do Setup's practice very well, and we do the retreats, and we do the mantras, and we hold him as our principal protector, he can indicate for us answers that we need at difficult times, either by dream or by instant thought, as I explained, when we relax, or by our mala. Or, if we are not confident in any of that, we go to our lama, we ask Setra to give an answer through our lama. So the lama does divination and lets you know. Questions? Sure? Last chance. Yes.
Has made any comment on any statements? Is there any other ways to judge, to check whether is it the real Satrap in the oracle?
For you, no. For you, no. For the high lamas, yes. Some high lamas will check with divination directly. So for you and me, no. That's going to be about it. Because we can't even check ourselves well. Okay? Questions? Just now I spoke, I didn't hear you at all. Louder. Louder, louder. Come louder.
Just now you spoke about the main reason.
Yeah.
One of it is because of affinity with Amitabha and any other reason.
Yes, I belong to Ganden. Kichara belongs to Ganden. You belong to Kichara. You belong to Ganden. So we do Ganden's practice. The end. No mystical reasons there. Sorry, buddy. Questions? When I said that, she was like, oh. Sorry. Questions? Yes. That's fine if you want to think about that. That's fine. Don't make it more than what it is. That's fine. Just make an affinity by the drink. The drink is arising from uncontaminated emptiness. It is enjoying all of samsara without contamination. That's why as a deity of Kala Chakra, we dissolve it into emptiness and it arises as ambrosial nectar that is purified from the five substances and five meats. From the five substances and five sacred meats, it arises free of smell, free of contamination. All is empty. From the sphere of incense, spheres, yam, from the rises air, from round fire, from the three lives of all, tripod, three hymns, bodies of maha, from the home, my light rays, radius, right there. Air moves, fire flares, all the substances, skull, call, mountain boy, light rays, radius, successfully, in three letters, they draw forth and absorb the three vachas. The letters descend into the skull, cup, and all mouths. Home purifies all false color, smell, potentiality. Ah transforms into nectar. Om multiplies and increases it. Oma ah hom. Oma ah hom. Point. That last three verses that I recited is the nature of that nectar. When you open it up, it's not about this. It's not about that. It's about enjoying all of samsara, uncontaminated, free of projectiles, and free of wrong view. So the visualization I'm giving you doesn't apply to everybody here. So it's something to be talked about in closed doors because that's tantra. So for you, you have to do it according to the Kala Chakra Tantra. Purify five meats, purify five nectars, free of smell, taste, and wrong potentiality. Do you understand? So what it is divine nectar, purified and transformed from everything we say is disgusting. Five meats and five nectars. Do you understand? Those represents the purified energy of the five Dhyani Buddhas, which we are trying to transform our five passions into that of the five Buddha families. So offering that represents that also. There's a lot of meaning. But it's tantric. Okay? A lot of meaning. So just stick to the simplicity so people here go, wah, wah, ha, hum, wah, ha. Okay? Questions? Yes, Joey?
If I get dizzy halfway during the sutra project.
You get up, go take a pee, answer your telephone, wash your hands, come back and continue. No problem. Sutra knows nature calls.
I start feeling lightheaded halfway during the puja.
You feel too lightheaded, you go take a nap, come back. Nothing mystical. You're not becoming an oracle, you're not having a vision, nothing. Just relax. Okay, Setrap, you feel lightheaded, your hands standing up, your hair standing up, your armpit hair standing up, wonderful. If you're not dizzy, continue and finish it. If you feel dizzy, funny like that, maybe you go have a, you have a nice, I don't know, maybe your sugar level went down. Okay, so don't try to change that into, I feel lightheaded. Does that mean I have a special connection? Does it mean Setrap is entering me? Am I becoming an oracle? Do I have a special link? Am I special? No. You do Setra Puja, you feel a little lightheaded, get a drink, have a little sugar, maybe your blood sugar's gone down. If that's not it, go take a nap, say, excuse me, Setra, I'm a little lightheaded because I'm airheaded. So go take a nap and come back. If you can push it and finish it, nothing magical, nothing mystical, you're not special, you don't stick out, Setra's not entering you, you're not an oracle, you're not connected to him from your previous life, you're not an emanation of him, he's not emanating for you, you're just a normal person praying to Setra. The end. All right.
And also, how can I explain?
Excuse me for being a little rude.
It's okay. I need that.
Nice kid.
How can I explain to my parents, my family, on offering alcohol to the Buddha?
You don't have to explain. Just offer milk.
Oh, okay.
The end. Okay. Easy. So if your parents don't like alcohol to the Buddha, you just offer milk. They don't like milk, offer water. You say, Setra, sorry, my parents don't allow alcohol in the house. You're going to have to stick with milk. You don't like it, too bad. So Setra, maybe he's not happy, go to another pub. It's all right. Okay? Setra doesn't care what you offer from your heart. From your heart, offer whatever. It doesn't have to be this. That's why I said in Tibet, it might have been sacred. Here, you can offer Coca-Cola. Remember I said that earlier, Joey? I like him. Can tease him. Anyway, not bad of a question. Sounds interesting. Questions? Isn't this fun? The question session is very fun because we get to see everybody and what they think. Yes, Bandana.
Can I ask a question that is not about Setra Puja?
Sure.
I have high blood pressure. Sometimes when my blood pressure is high.
Okay, what we need to do is just get to the question.
Yeah.
Let's skip the life story. Just the question.
Yeah, it's about meditation. I mean, it's about when I do the mantra and the meditation. So I notice that when my blood pressure is higher, I can focus more. Is that some connection or something?
I don't know. Really, I don't know. When I have high blood pressure and I do the mantras, I don't get more excited, I just get a headache because the blood is rushing. But I don't know if it's a connection. But definitely, it's not Setrap giving you the blood pressure, and your high blood pressure going up is not Setrap. It's not related. All right, so when you have high blood pressure, lose weight. Cut down on the salt, and then do the puja. How's that? We got an explanation now.
I'm saying that when the blood pressure is higher, then I can focus better than
when your blood pressure is higher, you can focus better?
Yes.
Eat the salt and meditate. All right, just swallow that salt. Put on more weight. Maybe by eating more salt, you can be a Buddha. That's right. So next time you become a Buddha, we'll call you high blood pressure Buddha. We'll draw a tanka of you with a thermometer. Any Dharma questions, please? I'm not a doctor. Yes.
The five things that we offer, they are called commitment offerings.
Just call it sacred offerings. Why? Those items were not easy to get in Tibet. Now it's like, who cares? Those are not very easy, and they're very difficult for people to offer because milk was scarce. Tsamba is many poor monks didn't eat for days. All right. And black tea, as I told you earlier, tea is very rare also. And all those things you offer in those yogurt is very difficult to get. So those are things you offer up to, that is so difficult to get, you offer, it means this is how committed I am to my practice, and I'm trying to cut my attachments. This is the message you're sending, right? So when I was in the monastery in the beginning, I just offered little ones. I didn't have much. I couldn't afford it. Okay, but here we can a lot. And everything except for the alcohol after the puja, you can take back. The alcohol, dump it. Okay, I don't want people to start saying, oh, but it's blessed alcohol, and you start drinking and have a car accident. No, I don't need that. So alcohol, dump it. Okay, and offerings are not used again for offerings the next day. So what happens is offerings from Setra, go shake up, split it up, everybody take home, drink it. It's a blessing. It is a blessing. All right, and don't criticize it. Offerings made to the Buddhas, talk, all that, you don't take it back. Oh, I don't like this, I don't like that, that makes me fat, that's good, that's good. Don't criticize. It's considered blessed, just take it. What you cannot eat, don't eat. Okay, so if they got a lot of pretzels and a lot of salt, you got high blood pressure, don't eat it so you have better meditation. Just don't eat it. And don't criticize. Don't criticize any offerings. Just take it back and share it with people. Okay? And, yes, Mama Jenny? What do you mean we reuse? Yeah, no problem. No problem. It's better than throwing out the leftovers, isn't it? It's okay. Questions? Anything deeper? Yes? Means he can foretell the future. Yes, it is symbolism, so he can foretell the future. And one is a breastplate representing going for war and protection from armor. Protection from weapons. Question? That's a good one. I forgot about that. Questions? Don't be afraid. Even medical questions are welcomed. Any questions? Yes, Andy. I'm going to charge you 10 cents for each question. I'll be rich by the end of the year. What page? Oh, those are just exactly what we talked about. All those things we're talking about, you know, you don't feel like getting it because you're lazy, not because you're not available. So all those things that we're talking about for people who have Setra initiation, you must offer monthly. You must. It's a commitment. Those who don't have, whether you offer or not, it doesn't matter. So those are commitment offerings, inner offerings, secret offerings. So if you have Setra's initiation, you must do his puja every month and you must have these offerings. It's a commitment. Well, then we have to go more extended about all what's going in the torma, how it's the rain, the whole shebang. The whole shebang, all right? Questions? Yes, Paris? Yes, they're emanations of him. Some are actually subdued spirits who've been subjugated by a lama or him and put on his entourage. But mostly, it's his own emanation. And if you want to know more about them, questions? Yes. It represents remembering the purpose of doing Dharma, remembering the motivation to do Dharma is time is short, death and impermanence is around the block, and to meditate on death and impermanence, which will protect you from the three lower realms. Why is that? When you do the meditation of death and impermanence, you will realize your mortality, you will stop doing negative action, you will be more conscious about cause and effect, you will take refuge, do your meditations, transform your mind, become an enlightened being. So the skull on Setrap's diadem represents remembering the basis of us doing Dharma practice. Questions, please. Yes? No. It's just English words. No much difference. Yes? What is emanation? An enlightened being whose essence can take on another form and operate on its own without being controlled. Questions? Yes. What is the what?
Omaha ya chacha soha ming.
Cetera, give me a lot of money and stop the stupid questions. represents Buddha's holy body, all the Buddha's body qualities and all of our negative qualities you invoke through Cetera to purify and to implant in you. Maha means great. Yaksha is the class of beings that he has manifested in. Yaksha is a class of being that he belongs to. Don't get me into the description because I haven't seen them. His class of beings, the way he looks, belongs to a type of being called Yaksha. So Maha Yaksha means one who's not an ordinary Yaksha, one that's enlightened already. Om Maha Yaksha Tsa. Then what's the end? I forgot the mantra. Om Maha Yaksha Tsa. JP. Om Maha Yaksha Tsa Soha. Soha means come forth. Give me everything that you represent, everything you can have, everything that you are embodying, give to me. Bring it forth. Bring it on. Soha. Something like that. Questions? Actually, Om Maha Yaksha Tsa Soha embodies the whole energy of Setrap in the form of sound. When you invoke upon him, you can invoke him by body, by sound, by letter, by picture, in any way, because he's an enlightened being, so he can change forms. Remember in ancient Greek mythology, Zeus seduced some of his lady friends in the form of a golden shower, or as a goose, or as a centaur. So similarly, if the normal gods can do that, definitely the enlightened beings can do that also. So what happens is that you're invoking his essence through that mantra, and that mantra is very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. Hold it well, do it well, and do it sacredly. Okay, I taught another time how to do mantras, remember? All right, we won't go into it today because it's a little long. Questions? This is fun. I'm not hot anymore. I'm very comfortable. I stopped sweating, in fact. Yeah, it's very weird. I've stopped sweating. No more fever. Very comfortable. Yes, Kim Lee.
Sorry, I asked. You talked about just now, the essence of the Buddha, right? And in Buddhism, we also talk about non-self and all this emptiness. Then there's not supposed to be the, how do we call it, the entity. So the essence is like, it's a permanent entity. So this is like contradict.
It doesn't contradict at all, because the essence doesn't mean permanent entity. The essence means their nature, which is emptiness. Question? Yes? What?
Why doesn't the Dharma protectors manifest during the cultural revolution, which the monasteries was destroyed?
Why doesn't Dharma protector manifest during SARS? Why doesn't Dharma protector manifest during HIV? Why doesn't Dharma protector manifest in your life to avoid people you love from dying? That's the result of people's karma. That's collective karma manifesting. So, the Dharma protector's job is not to stop collective karma from manifesting. The Dharma protector's job is to help you attain enlightenment. So, if you don't do practice, if you don't do meditation, you don't purify your karma, all those things will come. All those things will come. People have asked the Dalai Lama many times, how come during the time in Tibet, why they don't manifest? Of course they have manifested. You see the Dharma growing all over the world. Their job is not to protect the country. Why would they be biased toward Tibet? Why would they be biased toward Tibet? They're not biased toward a country. They're not biased toward a person or a people or a race. They specifically are functioning to increase Dharma and Dharma attainments. The Dharma is growing. In fact, with the Tibetan Lamas leaving Tibet, Dharma has grown all over the world. So in fact, was it a disaster or was it a blessing? You have to think carefully. They will not be biased toward a country. So lowly, normal people think like that. Oh, why? High Lamas won't think like that. Okay, something like that. Questions? Yes? Just say it, don't worry. Just say it, Joey. Just give me that question. Cut the Gimli explanations, please.
Can we, if we have a root
underneath
guru,
all that, there's a very intelligent person, you guys trust me.
if we have a root guru and another lama, which is also our guru, gives us a yidam, is it permissible?
Wait a minute, what? If you have a root guru,
yeah,
then why?
Then you have another guru,
yeah,
and he gives you a yidam. Is it all right to? Is it correct?
Yeah, I guess so.
I am just asking about the yidam. Is chosen by myself or guru choose for you?
Oh, that sounds radically different than the way Joey asked it. Radically different. Joey, after this, you're going to be put in a closet with Gimli. And you guys are going to discuss life. And role play. That slipped. Omaya just saw us. Sorry. These guys, you guys are a freaky group. You see that? Y'all look goody goody, pray pray, omani pemon. But underneath all that, when you guys let your hair down, look at you. You guys need Cetra badly. He's the only one that's going to be able to help you, especially Madame Chua. Look at her. You guys haven't seen her at a dinner when she lets her hair down. Okay. Are you dumb? If you have chosen a teacher and you follow your teacher well, and you're very committed to your teacher will select a yidam for you. If you're not very committed, and you are always window shopping, you run here, run there, run here, run there, you pick your yidam, you get one, you give another one, get another one, then it become like that. But if you're very committed, and you follow a teacher all the way, no matter what, then he will assign a yidam for you, you will practice it, you will get the result. Why? If we don't have time to practice one yidam well, where will we have the time to practice two? Whatever is promised in one yidam, you think another yidam don't have the same power? All yidams have the same power. So if you follow a lama very well, you will not be running here and running there for this yidam or that practice. And if you have a lama, why would you want to choose your yidam? Why wouldn't you let your lama choose it? Why wouldn't you let someone who knows more than you choose what would be helpful for you on the spiritual path? It's like going on a tour to China. If I don't know China very well, I'll follow the tour guide. Yes?
Is that okay? If you haven't met our guru, then...
If you haven't met your guru, you don't have to say, this is my yidam, this is my yidam. Just take Buddha Shakyamuni and pray. Buddha Shakyamuni is wonderful.
Then just recite his mantra on you.
Oh yeah, that would be very good. You can take Buddha Shakyamuni and focus and visualize Buddha Shakyamuni, recite Buddha Shakyamuni's mantra, and you can obtain his praise. We have his praise here, and you can pray to Buddha Shakyamuni through his praise. That's wonderful. Or you can take Avalokiteshvara, focus on the form Avalokiteshvara, recite a lot of Om Mani Padme Hum. That's wonderful. Wonderful. So if you haven't met your guru, or you don't have a guru, or you don't have a specifically assigned idam, then which one should you pray to? Shakyamuni is fine. Avalokiteshvara is fine. And you recite their mantra, there's nothing secret, it's very beneficial. And you recite their praise. And what's very important is this, is don't go for initiation and don't run around for initiation. For most of you, once you go for initiation, finish your four preliminaries first. 100,000 water offering, 100,000 prostration, 100,000 guru yoga, 100,000 mandala offerings, 100,000 vajrasattva. Finish that first. Do that every day.
But it requires empowerment, right?
Huh?
It requires empowerment.
No, it doesn't. It does not. Definitely not. That one even old ladies in a village do. Doesn't need. Mandala offerings, you don't need empowerment. Vajrasattva, you don't need empowerment. Prostrations, you don't need empowerment. Guru yoga, you don't need empowerment. You just need to receive instructions on how to do it. And that's all. You don't need empowerment. And no vows. Okay?
Yeah,
make it easy and simple. You're young and you are studying and you are investigating. Don't take a lot of commitments. Just do practices that entail no commitments at all. Take Shakyamuni and focus. Take Lama Tsongkhapa and focus. Or take Avalokiteshvara. Whatever you like. Focus and pray, because all of them are the same. What you like. And then practice the five preliminaries with them. Meaning you can take Lama Tsongkhapa or Shakyamuni and do 100,000 prostrations towards them. Do your meditations in front of them. Do your praises to them. Do your confessions in front of them. You can do it all in front of them. That's very good. Understand?
Very good.
Good. That's a good question. Questions? Last one. Nothing? Oh, yeah. No, I pulled it out of the air. Sutras and tantras. No, it is mentioned. You see, Dharma Protector is not mentioned in, not all Dharma Protector are mentioned in this sutra or this tantra or this or that. They're individual practices on their own. They have their own individual prayers and meditations which the lamas pass on their own. So there are protectors. Example, four-faced Mahakala is associated with the Hiruka Tantra. So if you receive the Hiruka initiation, you will be doing the four-faced Mahakala automatically. It's part of the practice. If you do Yamantaka, part of the practice is Kalarupa. If you do Guhya Samaja, part of the practice is Kalarupa. Guhya Samaja, I'm sorry. Mahakala, six-arm Mahakala. If you do Kala Chakra, it's Vajravega. So they all have their specific practice, but Setra is completely independent. He's like freelance, completely independent. But if you want to find the analogs and all that, his practice is all over Tibet. It's a tradition of different monasteries. If you want to look for the lineage, it's in Ganden Shatse. Example, Ganden Shatse will have the initiation. The lamas will have the initiation. They have received it from their lama to their lama to their lama, all the way back to Lama Londen Sherpa, who brought it back initially. So it will go like that. But if you want to find reference, no. Not that I know of. But we need to do more investigation in Shatse for this. Much more. Questions? Oh, I mean, that's the last question. Okay, I caught myself. Well, I didn't want to end at 2 a.m. I finished on 12:30, but all you guys had all these questions. You kept raising your little skinny fingers and saying more, 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 and here I am. You see, you guys are torturing me now. You're not letting me go home and sleep early. Last time, I'm like, you guys have to stay till 3, and these days you're making me stay till 3. But I don't mind. Okay, so we had a wonderful explanation, and I enjoyed very much sharing this with you. What I enjoyed more was in the beginning when I talked about Dharma, when I explained about Dharma, when I explained about that part, I was very excited and very happy. Setra practice. But that's not the crust of Dharma practice. The crust of Dharma practice is what I talked about in the beginning. To make time for learning, for make time for meditation, for make time for transforming one's mind, for trusting cause and the effect. That is the crust of Dharma practice. And that's what I like to talk about much, 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 much more. Why is that? Because that's what's going to take us to enlightenment. If we do that well, Setra will help us. Do not get caught up that if I make this offering, if I recite this mantra, if I do this puja, then only that way Setra will help me. If you do your Dharma practice and you do your meditation and you transform your mind, just invoking Setra very lightly, he will help you automatically. Why? His job is to help Dharma practitioners. His job is not to help people who offer milk to him. He cannot be bribed. He cannot be bribed. He is a Buddha. He is not some tired, you know, little person hanging out in alleys. He is a Buddha. You can't bribe him. Making offerings to him of that nature is just to collect merits in order to achieve enlightenment and protection. It is not about bribing, etc. If you do meditation, if you learn the Dharma, and you activate Dharma practice, and then you do gentle prayers, etc., little bit of prayers, he will help you tremendously. Why? His job is not to see how much milk or tea or what you offer him or what's his visualization or what is his mantra or how much you do or you know whether you have a statue or not. His job is not that. He's not interested in that. He is interested to see how much you have transformed your mind. If you have transformed your mind tremendously, if you are in the process of transforming your mind, if you are doing practices that push yourself to transform your mind, he will help you all the way. That is his sworn allegiance to Lord Buddha. His sworn allegiance is to help those who help themselves, literally, to become a Buddha. He is not one, not if you run around doing business, indulging yourself, thinking about money, thinking about relationship, fun, and then saying to the satrap, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. That's not what he swore to do. That's not what he swore to do. He swore to help you to become enlightened. So if you do that, he will go all the way to help you. And trust me, he will manifest in ways to you that are miraculous. Miraculous. If you do Dharma practice. The point of today's teaching is Dharma practice, not satrap practice. The point of today's teaching is transforming one's mind, and satrap can help us push obstacles away to achieve that. Today's talk is not about satrap, sorry to say. No offense intended. Today's talk is not about how to worship some protector deity of Tibet. You see, in the monastery, in the monasteries, what they focus on and what they look at, what's in the central altar, is Buddha. And what they achieve is debate. What they achieve is learning. Satrap is on the side, it's in the chapel. It is a peripheral practice that helps tremendously, but that's not the focus. The focus here is to learn the Dharma, understand the Dharma, interact in the Dharma, apply the Dharma, and transform and make a big difference. Gain control of your destiny. Gain control of your death and rebirth. That is the point here. So me explaining about satrap to all of you, which I found very pleasurable, is not about satrap's practice. It is about doing Dharma. Our center is not about satrap's practice. Our center is not about ghost busting. Our center is not about telling people how to create their ghosts and spirits and increase their money, increase their wealth, and get relationships. Our center is not some cheap temple with some cheap medium, with cheap deities entering and giving cheap advice. Our center is about learning the teachings of Lord Buddha that can be applied to us on an ordinary daily level so that we can transform and that we can make a difference in our life and in everybody's lives around us. And that is our goal. And to go to the next level of making other people more important than ourselves. That is our goal of our center. All the other practices that we do is to supplement that. We are a Buddhist center, not a temple for some oracles. But I showed you some of the famous oracles of Tibet. I showed you all that. Why? It's nice to have a little pasta. Along with that, Tabasco and a little Tabasco sauce and a little pepper add some flavoring to your pasta. So the pasta was not this, that was just the flavoring. Okay? So those of you who have missed part of this, please get the CD, VCD, whatever, that should be available sometime in the near future and watch it. Listen to it. Our purpose of our Dharma Center is to increase Dharma practice, is to understand Lord Buddha's teachings, is to apply it and make a real tangible transformation in our mind. It is not to sit in front of a protector deity, offer milk and incense and whatnot, and find out this and that, and pray and give me this and give me that, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. We're doing fine without satrap. We've been doing give me our whole life. Remember the purpose. Satrap is wonderful. It is pure. It is valid. It is excellent. Let me repeat again. The holy Sangha of Ganden Shatse for the last 600 years has relied upon satrap for their outer physical help to sustain the monastery to continue its studies. If it's good enough for Ganden Shatse, it is good enough for all of us. Okay? That's good. It's been a great joy. It's been wonderful. Let's do a dedication. And then Rinpoche will hightail out of his room into his helicopter and disappear. Yeah, didn't you know? Did you see the helicopter landing on top? You didn't, huh? Okay, never mind. Either there's no helicopter, or you guys weren't listening. One day, I'll be traveling in a helicopter back and forth so I can be a Top Gun Lama. No more of this Waja thing. Oops. Okay. Going in trance? No, JT was like, those of you who know me, I'm naughty, and I'm unconventional, and I'm different. So if you came here looking for a lama sitting on a throne spouting compassion and love and having Avalokiteshvara emanate from his ear, you came to the wrong place. I'm the Neon Lama. The Lama that glows and is bright, but when you look deeper, there's nothing much inside. But anyways, I've got a good motivation to teach. Were you sleeping or actually doing a meditation? I couldn't tell. Sleeping, huh? I thought. That's all. Janju. Tony.
Get one.
Very good.